Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bribe or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bagati for SN Fresen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Good morning and welcome to the SN Fresen Show. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife. And guess what? Tonight starts the 9 days, and it's fish, 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 pasta, pasta, pasta. And what about some nice baked potatoes with lashings of butter and salt and tuna and some grated cheese, all those good old-fashioned, what were they called? They used to be at, there was a place that used to make beautiful toast with mixed with mayonnaise and cheese and Juicy Lucy. That was it. Oh, yes. All those sorts of things. But I'm going to divide the show into pastas and I'm going to divide it into fish. Because if there's one thing my grandchildren absolutely love, it's my crispy, crispy bubba, not just fried fish. No, we don't want that. We want that crispy fish that you bite into and it crunches. What is it? It's just a nice battered fish. And so we're going to try that, and I made it with them here, and we deep fried it outside because nobody comes inside my house and fries fish, because otherwise, as we say, everything starts to smell and taste like fish. And I must say, it's so wonderful to be back talking to you all, because believe me, I didn't think I'd be coming back and being able to talk to you even last week. So if I'm a bit nasal, it's the end result of corona. Anyway, excuse me. So we're going to start off, as I say, with fish, and then we're going to go on to some lovely pasta dishes, and then I'm going to talk about bialys. Yeah, bialys. Everybody knows about bialys in New York, but do we know about them here? No, I don't think so. So we're going to go on to talk about bialys. We're going to talk about blintzes. We're going to talk about all sorts of different and exciting milchic things, which I don't really go for, but now, there is something to be said for some nice fish and some nice pastas sometimes. So I'll share that with you coming up after the break. So as I said, let me give you the recipe for this crispy, crispy, fish. If you haven't got my second book, it's in my second book, Celebrating with the Kosher Butcher's Wife. And, it's basically a cup of flour, a cup of water, and some nice fish spices. I actually like to put some fish spices on top of the fish. I do use frozen fish for this because I find it a lot easier to handle. And there's nothing wrong with frozen fish. Haven't you ever seen those adverts where they go out in the boats and they get the frozen fish and they stick it in the boat and then they stick it in the freezer straight away? Wonderful, wonderful fish. So I use that, and I put a little bit of fish spice in the batter. You can use beer if you want to. I use water for the children. I don't put any egg in it because I find that makes it go soggy, but I do put corn flour, Maizena. Yep, Maizena makes it so crispy and so crunchy. It's absolutely delicious. And then I put the frying pan, I deep fry the fish, and quite hot so that it really bubbles out and gets nice and crispy. Otherwise, it gets a little too soggy. So that was the way that I made it. And now I'm going to let you hear what the children had to say about it. I'm sure you can all hear the beautiful frying of this wonderful batter-coated fish, which is such a wonderful idea for the 9 days. So I'm in the kitchen with my grandchildren and especially my granddaughter Zahara, who instigated this whole fry-up session. In fact, we're not in the kitchen. We're outside in the garden because none of us
can be near each other. But I'm going to talk to Zahara, and Zahara, what does this look like in your eyes?
The best fish and chips I've ever seen.
So what we've got a deep fryer outside, and we're frying the fish here, and basically it's a batter of water, flour. I'll give you the exact measurements. If you can't hear me properly, it's because I've got two masks on. I've got gloves. I've got everything you can imagine to prevent any form of not isolating, so to speak. And I'm slowly taking out the fish one by one, which is that lovely golden brown color. It is so crispy. And what I advise everybody to do is to eat it as it comes off the frying pan. Correct, Zahara?
Correct.
That's the only way to eat it, as it comes off. So what I've done is, because we are so paper conscious at this time, is they're eating it in serviettes and enjoying their meal. They can take from the tray there. And I'm going to put another load in. Listen for the crackle. Can you hear the crackle? Oh, that has gone too wonderful to work. We're frying up this delicious. What I did was I used hake fillets. I think you can buy them at most stores. I think Woolworths. Everybody's got hake fillets. And then deep fry them until crispy and crunchy. So now take a bite, Zahara, and tell me how, let everybody hear how crunchy it really is.
It's quite hot, actually. I'm going to wait.
You're going to wait a bit?
Yeah.
Okay. Ari, will you take a bite and tell me how crunchy it is?
Right, you're taking it out of the pocket.
Very, very, very.
Is it crispy enough for you, Layla?
Mm.
Take a bite. Let's hear the crunch. Okay, this time you can eat with your mouth open. I'm allowing you to eat with your mouth open so people can hear the crunch. Let's hear the crunch again.
Mm. Good stuff.
Okay.
Halashing for halas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
What I'm going to start with is another dish called chimichurri baked fish. Now, chimichurri is basically coriander, and a little bit of chili, and a little bit of oil, and it's a mix, and a little bit of parsley. And what I got was some nice white fish, and I just put chimichurri on top of it, and I baked it in the oven, and it was absolutely delicious, and I served it. In fact, what you can do is, if you want to get really fancy, you can put it on top of green beans and zucchini matchsticks, and you cook it like that in the oven so that the green beans aren't too soggy, and the zucchini, which is, you can grate it on the bigger side of the grater, that's also lovely and delicious. But add a little bit of salt to the vegetables before you put the fish on top. You can also add some tomatoes if you want to on top of the chimichurri sauce. But basically, what chimichurri is coriander leaves, danya leaves, cilantro, I don't know what they call it in different parts of the country. 1 cup of that, 1 cup of parsley, 1/4 cup of white vinegar, garlic. Oh, I put a lot of garlic in, as you know. A little bit of salt. You can put a little bit of cumin in if you want. You can put apple and red pepper. I love that. And I put in about 1/4 cup of olive oil, and I just stick it in the NutriBullet and blend it all together, and there you have the most wonderful chimichurri sauce. And then you just preheat the oven, and you can put the vegetables underneath it if you want to. And I preheat the oven quite high to about 200 and to, you know, 220, and actually put a little bit of boiling water in the oven with it. And that also helps to cook the vegetables as well. And then, of course, we have plain, well, not plain, we have wonderful, I like salmon. I don't know about you, but you can actually cook this with anything, really. You can cook it with Norwegian salmon, Scottish salmon, you know, whatever the budget allows you to have. I mean, hake is also delicious. You can do that as well. So what I do is I take about 2 to 2.5 kilo side of salmon or hake or whatever you want to use, and I have it butterflied. Then what I do is I take 3/4 cup of soya sauce, 1 bunch of fresh, roughly chopped coriander, or if you don't like coriander, like I know a lot of people don't, then use parsley. I know I use it for my son when he has it. And a knob of freshly grated ginger. Now, as somebody once said to me, he said, "Sharon, let me see your thumb compared to my thumb." I said, "Why?" He says, "Because you go for a knob of freshly grated ginger." Okay, so when I say knob, I mean about 4 to 5 centimeters of grated ginger, or I don't know, about a tablespoon. 1/3 cup of honey and 2 fresh chilies chopped. Now, you got to have the chilies. I know it's a little bit hot, but you got to have the chilies with the ginger and the soya sauce and the honey. Each flavor complements the other. And then I preheat the oven to about 220, and I place a large piece of foil on a baking tray. Now, you got to have a baking tray. And then I place the fish. In fact, sometimes I use 2 pieces of foil on the baking tray, and I place the fish skin side down onto the tray, draw the sides up of the foil, but I don't go all the way up. I just sort of scrunch it on the sides, because don't forget, we want to pour the sauce into that. And then I scrunch it all up together and stick it in the oven. And it should take about 20 minutes. And then I remove it from the oven and allow it to get cool. You can serve it at room temperature. In fact, something I saw the other night was Jamie Oliver. What he did was he took the skin off the bottom of the fish, and he fried it until it was really crispy, and sort of served it on top. And it just looked so delicious. And so, you know, because I can't normally eat, don't normally eat the skin. I can't stand fish with skin on, but this really looked lovely. And so he served that on top of the fish. And one very important thing is, don't open the fish before about 10 minutes, because, oh boy, you don't want to burn or steam your hand at the moment. Because we don't want any burns that have to rush off to hospital in these terrible times. So I serve mine with a light cabbage salad or a fennel salad. It's just, I just feel that fennel is just so fresh and so healthy. So I take a fennel bulb and I thinly slice it on one of those machines that I call, oh my God, don't cut your finger. One of those machines, or you can use your food processor and cut it really thin. And then you need about 8 to 10 radishes, which you can do in your food processor, but don't use that, oh my goodness, mandolin. And then you can use about 6 Israeli cucumbers or the Mediterranean cucumbers. And I just like them because they're smaller, they're thinner, they're crunchier. Then you take 3 spring onions and you chop them up. You use a couple of fresh mint leaves just to garnish it, because we don't use too much mint on it. Why? Because there's mint in the dressing. So you'll need about 1/2 cup of oil, about 1/4 cup of lemon juice or white vinegar or apple cider vinegar, 2 tablespoons of chopped fresh mint, 1 heaped tablespoon of sugar, salt and pepper, or if you want to, you can put the equivalent sugar in it, dietetic sugar, salt and pepper to taste, and you whisk everything together and you pour it over the sliced vegetables. And it's absolutely delicious. It's fresh, it's lovely, and it's a nice Sunday meal. So while we're on the subject of fish, I'm going to give you something really, really simple. Simple because you can just go to your favorite bakery, or you can go to your favorite supermarket, or you can go to your favorite spa. I know that at spa they make these wonderful crepes, and I think you get 4 in a packet. So if there's just 4 of you, you can make 4 nice big tuna crepes. Now what I did with mine was I bought 4 of those, because there's only 2 of us. I bought 4 crepes, I bought 2 tins of tuna, and I bought a packet of Imana mushroom soup. Now that you can only get, I think, a check. Mind you may be able to get it at spa, but I got mine from Checkers, and you follow the recipe on that. So what you do is you make up the sauce, add some cheese to it, add some grated cheese, I'd say about 1/2 cup, and you make up the soup, the mushroom soup, and you pour that, you make up your blintzes, put tuna into the blintzes, roll it up, put it into a container, and then you put the Imana soup over it with some cheese. And I wouldn't use as much milk as I tell you to. I think it's 850 mils. I would use about 750 mils. And because you want it quite thick, the sauce quite thick, you can put milk in it, you could put cream in it. It is parov, so if you want to keep it parov, you can do that as well. I don't. I make my milchik and I put some cheese in it, and then put cheese on top. Stick it in the oven, bake it, the blintzes fluff up, the cheese goes lovely and crispy, and there you have tuna blintzes. As simple as that.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bugatti for SN Fresen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
So I think now we're going to go over to the pasta section. Now, if there's something that I really love is pasta, and I found the simplest way to make a lovely pasta dish is to use fresh basil, is to boil up that very, very, very thin pasta. You know, the one that's sort of almost in the rolls, but very thin. Slipped my mind now. You see, Kathy? After you have corona, or maybe it's my age. When you get to this age, things slip your mind. Anyway, as I say, the thinnest pasta you can get, and you just add, melt a little bit of butter. You can add a little bit of olive oil to that. Add your basil. Some people like to put dried sage in, but I prefer fresh basil. And then I boil up my pasta as per instructions. Leave it, if it tells me to boil it up for 5 minutes, I boil it for 4, because I'm going to add it to the butter and the salt and the pepper and the basil that I've chopped up and added to that. Add a little bit of salt and pepper, and that's it. And then go out and buy a lovely Italian loaf, or you can use my recipe for quick and easy sour bread dough, and put lashings of butter on and just have a wonderful pasta evening. Now, when my daughter had a baby, the amount of food, I can't get over what our community are like, because even in the most recent times now, when I was so ill, the buzzer would just go and people would say, food on your door. And it was just, people are just unbelievable. And when my daughter had her baby, people did the same thing. We're not coming in. Food's there. And one of the dishes was the most magnificent tuna lasagna. Oh, my word, was this tuna lasagna delicious? I called it Shelly's tuna lasagna, because it was Shelly that dropped it off, and she made it as follows. I had to beg her for the recipe, but she did give it to me quite easily. And it goes as follows. You need 2 cups of tomato soup, 500 mils of cream, 1 bucky, that's 250 grams of smooth cream cheese. It must be smooth. You don't want that chunky cheese. 1 large onion fried. The Barilla Tagliatelle. It takes 6 minutes to cook. Then you want Tassa's cheese and cheddar cheese. And I believe that that is very important. But before we start with anything, we have to fry our large onion. Sorry, and 2 tins of tuna. Oh, the most important thing. Although, I must tell you that this dish is superb even without tuna. So, you fry your onions. And to that, you add the rest of the ingredients. So, you add the tomatoes, 2 tomato soups. You add the 500 mils of cream. They tinned tomato soups, not the powdered tomato soup, tinned tomato soup. A bucky of the smooth cream cheese. And what you do is mix that all together with, I would say all in all, use about 3 cups of compressed cheese, grated cheese. So you'd use 2 for the sauce, and then you'd put 1 cup on top to make it lovely and crispy. So you put the tomato soup, the cream cheese, the onion which you fried originally, and 2 cups of Tassa's together into a dish, into a bowl. The cheddar will be all grated, so it should melt quite easily with the cream and the cream cheese, which you warm up. And then you add the tagliatelle, which you only cook for 6 minutes, and stick it all into, we'll stick the tagliatelle into a rectangular dish, and then cover it with half the sauce and rectangular dish, and then tagliatelle on top of that in your rectangular dish, and then your sauce on top of that, and then the 1 cup of compressed cheese. When I say compress, push it down. Oh, because that cheese on top is absolutely delicious.
Chalashing for chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bagatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
There is something that I haven't given you, and that is one of my favorites at the moment, and that is Mexican salad. Now, I normally put mince in mine or meat in it, but because we are going the milchic route, we can actually put grated cheese in it, because most Mexican salads do have cheese in it as well. So what we'll need for this Mexican I'm going to put smoked salmon on instead of steak. You can put whatever you want. You don't even have to put fish on. You can just leave it without anything on it and serve it with meat. Oh, no, it's got cheese in it. You can't serve it with meat. So what we'll need, unless you leave the cheese out, of course, but what you will need is one large red onion chopped, half an English cucumber chopped, but take out the seeds. I use a little teaspoon and I scoop out the seeds and then I chop it up because it tends to make the pastry bowl in which you're going to serve it a little bit mushy. Then one red pepper chopped, two medium tomatoes chopped, which you're also going to put in at the end because it can make the bowl that you're going to serve it in a little mushy too. You need 2 sticks of celery, roughly chopped, one packet of fresh coriander chopped. It's about 30 grams, 35 grams. If you want to, rather than coriander, which is the taste of Mexico, then you can put in parsley. And then I finely shred the lettuce, 2 avocados cubed, 2 cups of frozen corn, or 1 large tin of the ordinary corn, not cream style corn, ordinary corn, but make sure that you drain it well. And to make it even more Mexican, you can get the cannellini beans or black-eyed beans, but drain those really well. I run them under hot water before I add them, and I make sure that they really are dry. So, and then on top of that, of course, I like to put either a packet of Fritos or corn bites or something really crunchy because I like crunchy things with my salad. Now, I kept talking about the bowl that you're going to serve it in. So what you do is you go and you get tortillas from your favorite bakery. You can get tortillas or laffa or whatever, and you put them on top of an oven-proof bowl, and you stick that into the spray, put spray and cook on the glass bowl and spray and cook afterwards on the tortilla, and you push it around the plate and you stick it in the oven to cook until it's golden brown. Switch off the oven because you really want it to be nice and crispy. Now, if you're having a lot of people, then make 2. Put the rest in the freezer. So what we do is we place the, the lettuce at the bottom, chopped onions, then the cucumbers, the red peppers, the celery, the coriander. You can put it in layers if you want. And then I put the tomatoes on the top. I put the rest of the ingredients on top. If you want to, you could put smoked salmon on. If you want to, you can add really whatever you have a mouth for. And then the salad dressing that goes on, that I pour just before I'm going to serve it, because remember, we don't want the bowl to go soggy. So just before serving, you blend up the following. 1/2 cup of oil, 1/4 cup of red vinegar, 1 teaspoon of mustard powder. I like garlic, so it's 4 cloves of garlic. 1/2 cup of brown sugar, paprika, about 1/2 teaspoon of paprika. And if you want to, you can take 3 tablespoons of the commercially bought salsa sauce and add that. Shake it up or blend it beforehand in your food processor. Add salt and pepper, taste it, see what it needs, and then just before serving, pour it on top. And I use laffa for mine. You can use whatever you want. I mean, if you want to, you can even take pita, cut those in half, cover them in a little bit of oil, paint a little bit of oil on top, paint a little bit of oil inside, and press it hard around an object that it will cook in the oven. And there you have a lovely Mexican dish. Now, the reason why I chose that was because last week Adrian said that they have different meals from around the world on the 9th of Av. We have it over Sukkot, but I thought, well, you know what? Let me do something Mexican. Now I'm going to give you a recipe for something that actually got me to eat while I wasn't well. In fact, I had to watch the Food Network all the time just to try and build up an appetite. And then once it was given to me, I felt, I don't feel like that anymore. But this was something that I loved. I don't know if it was the yeast in it that made me feel better, but whatever it is. So they called bialys. Now, if you're not from New York, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about. But you've heard of bagels, that I'm sure. Okay, so bialys are often sold in the same shop as you buy your bagels. But remember that bagels are put into boiling water first, and then you bake them. These you don't have to. So it makes it even easier. And they are spongy, and they're wonderful, and they taste delicious, and you can put whatever you want in it. And you make up the dough as per instructions, which I'm going to give you now. And then what you do is you press your thumbs, I press two thumbs, into the bottom of the bialy, in the bottom of the dough, and sort of make, it must be very thin at the bottom, but not thin enough so that everything falls through. But you want it to have space to fill it with fried onions and mushrooms and poppy seeds and whatever you want, you can put in the middle of that bialy. You can put cream cheese in. You can make it sweet if you want with cinnamon and sugar. But I'm going to give you the recipe for bialys and show you how easy it is to make, and I hope you have fun making them. Okay, so have we all got our little pots or our pens and papers ready? And the dough for the bagels and bialys are very similar. They're both chewy, they're delicious. But this makes about 6. So you need 2 cups of flour. I use bread flour because it's high in gluten and it's really terrific. So you use 2 cups of bread flour. Make a well in the middle, and you put in the middle instant yeast. So you use about, if it's a 10 gram pack, I'd use about 5 grams. Then you'll need 1 teaspoon of salt and about a cup of warm water. You may need a little bit more, but I doubt it. And that's as far as I went with my bialys. Then you can knead them in your Kenwood or in your machine, whatever you use, with a dough hook. Take it out, and then you can just put a little bit of flour on the surface if you find that it's a bit sticky, and just knead the bialys. Then cut it up into 6 equal portions. Roll them. I don't know. You can't see my hand, but I'm rolling them on the board, and then I'm putting out 6 bialys on the board, and they are I'll leave them for about an hour doubled in size, and I cover them with sprayed cooking paper, the white baking paper. And then what I do is I let them rise for about an hour and a half, till they're doubled in size. It's a bit cold, so you may have to leave it for about an hour and a half. And then what I do is preheat your oven. First of all, you're going to have to need quite high heat. So I would cook mine on about 220. And then what you're going to do now is that they've doubled in size. You're going to press your hands in the middle, or press your thumb in the middle. Press your thumb all the way around, because you want about the size of, let's say, not a tennis ball, smaller than like a bit bigger than a golf ball. And inside that, you can choose whatever you want to choose to put in the middle of it. So you're going to put poppy seed if you want. You're going to put onions. That's my favorite. The onions and the poppy seeds was lovely. You can put, as it comes out, it's really hot, so you can grate some cheese on top of it. You can put some smoked salmon on top of it. You can make them sweet. You can put cream cheese in the middle. You can put cinnamon and brown sugar on top. They are absolutely delicious. And as I say, it got me through COVID, so it can get you through the 9 days. And then you take them out and you put them onto somewhere to just get cool if you want to. If you're like me, you eat them straight away because they're so delicious. And if you want to, you can freeze them. I actually put macon. Got some lovely macon and I added that to the onions and pepper, poppy seeds, and it was absolutely delicious. And we had that for supper one night. And as I say, you can put whatever you have a mouth for, you can stick that in the middle, but not something that's going to burn, you know, like jam may burn, or you want food. You want real nice onion in it, and a little bit of garlic if you want, and a little bit of tinned tomato in the middle. So that's something else for you to make over the 9 days. And the bigger you make them, the less hungry you'll be.
Chalashing for Chalas? Want to braai or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bagati for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.
Comes the 9 days, and I actually can't wait to dive into beetroot soup and hot potatoes and what else do we put into our beach, and the cream and the yogurt and everything. I think it's the only time I really eat beetroot soup, but I love it with all those lovely delicious milkic things. But a very similar recipe. I actually received a book today, and it's called Out of an African Kitchen, Recipes and Stories. And they've got some wonderful, wonderful recipes. And one, as I was paging through, obviously I saw the beetroot soup, which is their chilled beetroot soup. It's got cult of beetroot soup now, but it's basically the same as our beetroot soup, but it's got buttermilk and a bit of yogurt in it. But something that caught my eye and that I had to share with you was their rigatoni with roasted tomatoes and ricotta salata. Okay, so you will need, and it's so lovely the way that they've presented this book, with shop it. They've got one side for shop it, everything that you need to buy, and prepare it. So you will need to buy 1.5 kilograms of tomatoes. You need salt and pepper to taste. You need 4 cloves of garlic unpeeled. You need 5 sprigs of fresh thyme. I've been growing big, lovely bushes of thyme. I bought some of that. As I was saying last week to Adrian, having a beautiful garden built with the beautiful herbs, and so I don't have to go out shopping every single day. And a splash of you'll need three. Oh, sorry, I got up to the 5 sprigs of fresh thyme before I changed the subject. 3 bay leaves, a splash of red wine vinegar, 500 grams of rigatoni. That's the pasta, rigatoni pasta. Extra virgin olive oil, and 100 grams of ricotta grated, a small bunch of fresh basil leaves, and a couple of extra ones picked, you know, so that you can serve it as a decoration. So what we need to do now is we need to preheat the oven to 200 degrees and arrange the tomatoes on a large baking tray and season with salt and pepper. Scatter over the garlic cloves, thyme, sprigs, and bay leaves. Then roast all that until the tomato skins have blackened and split. Leave the tomatoes to cool, then remove the skins. Place the peeled tomatoes in a frying pan with the red wine vinegar and a pinch more salt and pepper. Squash with a spoon and allow to simmer for about 15 minutes until it becomes lovely and thick and strawberry red in color. And, oh, it's a, like a lovely creamy, almost a creamy sauce consistency. And then bring a pan of salted water to a boil and cook the rigatoni, that's your pasta, according to the packet instructions. And then you drain it. Don't ever wash it. Don't wash it after you've drained it. Just drain it. Reserving a cup full of cooking water and add the pasta to the tomato sauce with a little of the cooking water to loosen it a bit and divide the pasta, and you put that into four separate bowls, drizzle generously with olive oil and top with grated ricotta and a scattering of basil leaves served with grated parmesan on the side. I'm starving. I'm going to cook that now for supper because this is a pre-recorded show. It's Monday night tonight. So I'm going to go and cook that. Or actually, maybe I think I should keep it and rather cook it on the 9 days. Yes, let me go and get something meaty now. And on the 9 days, I'll cook it. So, well, it's eating meat that makes the show complete. And I hope you have a good 9 days. Please God, it's good for all of us. All those who are sick, a refuah shleima, boy, it's hard, but we're going to get through it. We're going to fight this and we're going to get through it. And wishing you all well. To all those who are really sick, a refuah shleima, and please God, may this stop, may this end, and we all carry on fighting for it.
Chalashing for Chalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to Chai FM on 101.9. Join Sharon Lurie and Adrian Bagatti for Essen Fressen, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m., where it's all about the food.